and welcome to the Need to Know podcast series, your source for cyber resilience, brought to you in association with VMware and AMD. In this series, we invite leading cybersecurity specialists and experts to probe the key issues and share best practices for combating current and emerging cyber threats. I'm your host, Liz Green, European Advisory and Cyber Leader at Dell Technologies. In today's episode, we will be exploring a new topic for the podcast, data privacy. In the last few years, we've seen a rise in the amount of class action lawsuits taken against large entities, including news outlets, streaming services, and sports organizations. The reason? Consumers believe these companies have violated user privacy by tracking their online activities without their consent. This has led to greater awareness of the need for stronger data protection laws and regulations, as well as increased demand for greater transparency and control over personal data. The lawsuits have also served as a warning to companies that engage in similar data collection practices that they may face legal repercussions if they don't prioritize user privacy. To help share insights about the topic and the unique challenges of data privacy and technology, I am delighted to be joined by Al Cicely, Chair of the Privacy and Data Security Practice, Shook, Hardy, and Bacon. Al, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Liz. Appreciate you having me and look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, really excited for today's discussion, Al. You've had a very impressive career. You've been recognized as one of the best lawyers in America. So I'm really glad that I actually know you now.
That's because my mom gets to vote a whole bunch of times. That's all.
Oh, nonsense. No. So best lawyer in America for privacy and data security law. The National Law Journal has named you a cybersecurity trailblazer. And under your leadership, Legal 500 has named your organization a top cyber law firm the last 2 years in a row. So there's a lot that we're hoping to get from this discussion today. I know you've spent your career helping organizations with privacy litigation, compliance, incident response. So do you mind telling us a little bit about your practice, your law practice? How did you get into this field? You know, what are you up to with clients? Things like that.
Sure. So I got into this area right around 2009, I'd always practiced in the area of litigation, starting out from when I graduated from law school in 99, and it was mainly commercial litigation. And then as I was coming up for partner, I realized that I needed to explore diversifying my practice to take a look at what's going to be the future of the practice of law for the next 20, 30, 40 years. And I did some research, I looked around, and I noticed that there were a few law firms that were building practices in privacy and cybersecurity. Technology had been something I'd been interested in ever since I was a little kid. I continued to stay interested in those areas. So I started exploring that area of the law to see if this could even really be a practice, looking into areas of cloud computing, cybersecurity. I spoke to mentors and colleagues at my firm and at other firms. And so eventually I started a blog and I started writing, I started speaking to anybody who wanted to listen. And then eventually got our first big break with a pro bono matter that involved a law firm that suffered a cyber attack and needed representation. And that really kind of helped give me the ability to then sell the services to other clients within the firm. There were some significant data breaches at around 2012, 2013 that caused a lot of concern for in-house lawyers. And so we received a number of inquiries then from clients asking, do you have anyone that does this? Slowly the practice grew. I started my practice mainly on the incident response side. And then it grew into privacy compliance and some litigation, mainly data breach litigation at first. And then the last probably 2-3 years, the litigation side has taken over my practice entirely. But during that time, we've built the practice from just me back in 2009 to a team of 34 lawyers now in different offices. So, yeah.
Wow, you must be busy. And thank you for kind of painting that picture. What growth you've seen. And I mean, what a time for you to have started in cyber and then to see now, you know, you cannot open a newspaper or go on to the FT without seeing something come up about cybersecurity. So I guess just calling on your experience from the privacy and cybersecurity world, Al, can you give us a few examples of where a failure to communicate by internal stakeholders has created a legal risk.
Yeah, so we've seen this a few areas now, particularly with respect to litigation in the United States, which has just absolutely exploded. Class action litigation has just gone crazy in the area of privacy and cybersecurity. It, in some way, it has become, there's like a technology ambulance chasing part of the bar that is just constantly filing lawsuits against companies that have suffered data breaches. And I think there are a few really good areas of examples where you've seen that the lack of one part of a company to talk to legal or another part of the company has created this risk for the company. One example of that most recently is with respect to this new wave of class action lawsuits that are based on companies' use of website advertising technology in their websites. So increasingly, companies are using technology that's built into the website that you and I don't see when we visit the website. But as a result of that technology, whether it's things like session replay or pixels, is resulting in the sharing of information about the visitors to the website with third parties, which is, in the United States, that's fine. It's legal. The problem is you have to disclose it, and some companies aren't necessarily disclosing it. And so this has led to a number of lawsuits now against these companies where, you know, based on old laws that were never designed for this and never meant to apply to this. But getting to the initial point, it could have been avoided, right? If you'd had the website developers or the IT department talk to the legal department and say, hey, we're thinking of building this new technology into our website. Or here's what's going on in our website. And this is what it involves and the information that it shares. And then at that point, the legal department says, okay, you're sharing personal information potentially with a third party. Let me think about whether there are any privacy concerns there. So the lack of that communication is what's resulting in some of this liability or could have mitigated some of this liability. That's one example. Another is with respect to biometric privacy. Here's a great example. The biometric privacy risks have been around now for a while, but have really proliferated in the last 5 years or so. What is biometric information? Biometric information would be the collection of like a facial scan or a retinal scan. And the InfoSec guys love it because it's maybe the most secure way to authenticate yourself, right? Because unlike a password or something that you need to remember, this is you, right? And so it's like you can really tell that this is the person that's supposed to be getting access to the computer or the physical area in a company. So biometric scanning and biometric authentication is fantastic. It's very secure. Problem is some InfoSec guys went off and running with it because they're like, this is super secure. We're going to do this. This is amazing. But they didn't talk to the legal department because the legal department would have said, whoa, 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 slow down a little bit because we have laws. For example, in Illinois, we have a law that says if you collect biometric information, you first have to give notice and get the person's written consent before you can use it or collect the information. In California, you have disclosure obligations. You have laws in Texas. You have now laws in New York. I mean, there are a growing number of laws. And of course, under the GDPR and the EU, you have laws that govern the collection of biometric information as well. So again, it's important that those two sides continue to discuss it. And then the last example is with respect to just cybersecurity and data breaches. We have laws here in the United States, as you all do in Europe as well, that govern what companies have to do to protect personal information within their possession. For example, here in the United States, if you're a financial institution and you do business in New York, you may be governed by the New York Department of Financial Services cybersecurity requirements. And those are very specific about the safeguards that you need to adopt with respect to personal information and financial information for individuals. And so it's important that legal is then talking to InfoSec to explain, here are the requirements that we need to meet. So let's work together to build these into our program. So those are a few examples of where we've really seen the need for the two groups to talk together. And it's not necessarily just IT and legal. It can sometimes be compliance or HR as well.
I guess just a follow-on question from that. I think, of course, there's all these laws now, and it seems to be a lot for organizations, for leaders to do anything meaningful, to make a change. And, you know, playing devil's advocate, I guess, maybe some of those groups didn't reach out to legal because they thought maybe legal would say no. How is legal responding to that? Being a law firm yourself and running that practice, are there ways that legal teams are trying to be a bit more agile in response to some of these new technologies instead of just saying, no, that won't work, saying this is what we can do instead. And I guess for those out there that maybe are not reaching out to their legal team for fear of them saying no, how can you respond as a law firm to kind of helping them do things, make changes quicker?
Absolutely. Okay, so take those three examples, right? There's an easy solution to all of those. So with respect to the website, ad tech, if marketing or IT is concerned about using this technology, the answer is you could use it. You're allowed to do these things. You just need to have disclosures. So working with legal, you can get the language of the disclosures in place so you can do the thing that you want to do, right? And biometrics, same thing. With biometrics, you can collect the information, but you first have to make sure you're giving notice and getting the written consent. So as long as you have that in place, you can still do the thing that you want to do. So 9 times out of 10, there is a solution. It's not like the answer is no. It's just you got to do it a certain way so that you're avoiding being the target of, you know, the plaintiff's bar and potentially, you know, subject to one of his lawsuits.
Okay. No, that's really helpful. And I guess you've already kind of highlighted some of the ways that organizations can go about addressing those particular challenges of communication. And do you mind sharing some advice on effective ways to mitigate against these risks that you've seen? I know that there's much more going on in terms of online tagging and of data and personal data. So how do we make sure our clients listening have a response, or what should they do following this?
Yeah, the first step is understanding the technology, right? Knowing that this is something that applies to you. And I can't tell you how many clients come to us after being sued in one of these pixel cases and say, we didn't even know we were using this stuff, you know, let alone knowing what information it may share with third parties. It's new to a lot of them. So I think first getting a sense of what are we doing, what technology we're using, and what are the implications of that is really important. But then I think one of the key things that our clients who tend to not be as subject to these risks as others, the thing that they do that's pretty successful is have a standing call every quarter. And it'll be somebody from legal, it'll be somebody from IT and InfoSec, somebody from marketing, somebody from HR, and they all get together, usually with outside counsel. It's good to have outside counsel involved. Maybe you want to apply privilege to the conversation. But it's also good because outside counsel's job is to be informing the company of here are the things that have been taking place since the last time we talked. And in privacy and cybersecurity, that stuff is changing like every month or two. There's a new law. There's a new kind of lawsuit. Plaintiff lawyers are thinking about these a new way. And so you have to be able to pivot and identify these things before they start to become a real problem. So the standing call, the reason is for you to discuss it in an organization. Are we doing these things that Al is telling us could be a concern? And if so, how do we go about mitigating those risks with sufficient disclosures or stop doing that thing for a period of time until we get into compliance? And that call, and the call is also just a good way to start conditioning those stakeholders to talk to each other about things that they're thinking about doing too, right? Like maybe there's some new technology that the company is thinking of implementing, but they haven't yet. And they're still in the process of evaluating whether they're going to purchase that or adopt that technology. So legal can come in and help and say, here are some questions that you need to be asking the provider so that we know whether this is something we're even going to be able to do and how we're going to be able to do it, right? So that communication is really, really important.
That's really helpful. And I think that is a theme we're seeing throughout this discussion today is the importance of collaboration and kind of the danger of silos as well. So I think that's been really helpful, Al. I wanted to conclude with just more of a fun question, really. You know, looking ahead, you're in this space, cybersecurity technology. Are there any particular trends that you've been watching in the privacy and cybersecurity space that you think companies should be thinking about?
So right now, the big thing here in the US is the website privacy litigation that I've been talking about. And, you know, again, it's something that marketing departments love, because it results in having this technology. Because you have this technology in your site, you get to target individuals when they're on platforms like Facebook, Twitter, you know, Nextdoor, all sorts of third-party platforms. Because you have these things built in, it really gives you a lot of insight about your customers and being able to target them separately. But I think the next thing that we're going to see will be the failure of companies to comply with what they're telling people happens when those people visit their website. So for example, maybe you visited a site where the first thing you see is a box that pops up, right? It says, here is information about cookies, and these are kinds of cookies that we will install on your browser when you visit our site. you can turn those off if you like. Here are buttons that you push in order to say decline. I don't want your cookies, right? So sometimes consumers will press decline and say, I don't want your cookies. But nevertheless, the website still pushes the cookies out to the browsers. And that could be due to a technical issue. It could be due to somebody not really paying attention to how the site is set up. And it sometimes can't be prevented at all. And so it's really important that companies are looking to make sure that what they're saying is happening is actually happened. Because I know that here in the States, that's the next round of lawsuits. We're just starting to see filed now. And unfortunately, what we're experiencing with some of our clients is that, in fact, some of them are realizing that what their sites are doing are not consistent with what the cookie banners are saying is happening. And so I would expect not just the plaintiff's bar, but also regulatory authorities to start stepping forward and bringing enforcement actions based on that. So that's something to watch.
Really helpful. So getting cookies when you don't want them, hopefully not something that's happening to us, but sounds like probably is. And hopefully working with your firm and all the different technologies.
Yeah. Just to be clear, Liz, I always want cookies.
Me too. Although I'm not sure which ones I have, and I'm sure there's many out there in the same boat. really interesting space, really interesting comments. Thank you so much, Al. There's a few insights I've taken from the discussion today. I think the first is better communication is required by all parts of the organization, including legal, marketing, product and engineering teams, and executive teams. And it is essential for companies to have clear communication channels between their various teams to ensure that their data collection practices are lawful and in compliance with any privacy regulations. So that's number one. Number two is transparency, accountability, and consent are vital for any digital ecosystem, and especially important to consumers today. We're becoming much more aware of what we're signing up to, what we're sharing, and what an organization may be maybe tracking us around. So we want to make sure, as organizations or leaders of organizations, we're doing everything we can to get consent from our users. And then the third is, as we better understand this problem, you know, have some helpful guidance from Al about the trends we're seeing. I think one of the challenges we may see is increased enforcement and fines, and really this rise in importance of data ethics. Maybe global laws will come out as well for companies that need to be held accountable to how they're tracking users and again, getting that consent. So, look, it's been a really interesting session today, very different than some of our other discussions. So I want to thank you again, Al, for the time, for your insights. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And to our listeners, we hope you join us next time. This series has been brought to you in association with VMware and AMD. Speak soon.